Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Tuesday, August 9th. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D-3-4. This is Sports Ethos presentation. And if you haven't checked us out, go to sportsethos.com. You can see our free information, some articles, information posted daily. You can see all of our podcasts. We are now daily in fantasy baseball, daily in fantasy football. Dan Vespers has his daily fantasy basketball podcast, which is a fantastic update. He's been going through the whole league, team by team, a while ago. Now looking at the conferences. Not team by team. He went player, top players ranked by Yahoo, and analyzed that. It was a fantastic number of shows. Lots of wagering information. I'm part of the Wager Pass group here, and for $15 a month, you can get all of our handicapping games, commentary, access to our Discord, which actually I think is the biggest value that we offer. In our Discord, you can chat with myself, with other handicappers, with other members, for wagering, and all kinds of fantasy tips and advice, ask creative trade-off ideas, thoughts, commentary. It's a great deal. And it's a lot of fun. You don't really have to chat a lot if you don't want, but you can certainly just read what's going on and follow some plays and some fantasy advice and wagering advice. So check out sportsethos.com for some of our packages. Big game, big night in the MLB tonight. 16 games after last night's 7-game slate. So we're going to jump right into it. And we start at 4:10 in the East with the first game of doubleheader. You get Lance Lynn, Chicago White Sox in Kansas City against Brady Singer and the Kansas City Royals. You can get the White Sox on the road at -125. The home Royals at +105. Total here is 8. Juice to the under at -125. Obviously, a pitcher's duel is expected. And you can get the White Sox at +130. Excuse me. +130 on the run line. Then he comes in 53 and two-thirds innings, 5.87 ERA, 1.29 whip. Not his usual career numbers. 10 walks, 57 strikeouts. Struggled out of the gate after his injury. Has pitched well in the last couple of games and seems to be riding the ship a little bit. Brady Singer, on the other hand, struggled to start the year, and he's been doing well. Well, not on the other hand. He struggled to start the year and has been doing well lately. 90 and two-thirds innings, 3.67 ERA, 1.19 whip, 22 walks, 94 strikeouts. I'm actually in a few plays here. One is Lance Lynn over 5.5 Ks. He got that at -135. Mostly because, as I said earlier, he's been pitching better, but a lot of it is also the way the Royals have been hitting lately since they went to their even more of the youth movement. But if you look at Lynn, in his last 4 games, he's cleared his prop. So against these Kansas City Royals a week ago, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. Four of that, Oakland, 5 and 2/3, 8 strikeouts. Cleveland, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts. So it's interesting there is Cleveland does strike out a lot. So that's even more impressive number. Part of that 5 innings against Minnesota, 6 strikeouts. He's been allowed to go 90-plus kind of pitches every game. He even got to 104 in the loss to Oakland. So I think if he can get into that 90 range, get in the 6th inning, he should be good to catch this prop. On the other side, Brady Singer, I'm also on his strikeout prop of over 4.5. When you look at his last few innings, against the White Sox a week ago, 6 innings, just 3 strikeouts. But prior to that, against the Yankees, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. Against Tampa Bay, 6 innings, 12 strikeouts. Against Detroit, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts. Against Cleveland, 7 innings, 5 strikeouts. Again, tough team to strike out. Against Detroit, again, 4 and 2/3, 9 strikeouts. Against Oakland, 8 and 3rd, 5 strikeouts. So basically, 6 of his last 7 games, he has eclipsed the 4.5 strikeout mark. The one was against these White Sox. But the White Sox don't hit righties, or haven't been hitting righties well this year. So I think Singer can get there as well. That's at -140. But go back to Lynn. In the last 15 games, the Royals have averaged 9.4 strikeouts. So he's got to get 5.5. In the last 15 games, they've gone over that every single game. 3 of those 15 games, they struck out 6 times. The other 12, 7 or more times in every game. So they've got their youth movement. They've got a lot of young players in their order now. And I think Lynn, riding the ship a little, but a veteran like that should be able to get through those young guys and get some strikeouts. So I've got Lance Lynn over 5.5 and Brady Singer over 4.5. Next game to start the evening slate is in Philadelphia, where the Marlins are in town. And You can get Miami behind Braxton Garrett at +190, and the home Phillies throw their ace Zach Wheeler, and they are -230. Total here 7.5, 110 on both sides, and you can get the home Phillies on the run line at -115. Again, excuse me, bit of a cough going on still. I'm actually on the Phillies here. I like them to win. I like them backing Wheeler. Can't take that -230, but I'm going to be on the run line at -115. I'm also on Phillies first five over 2.5, got that at +105, and a Wheeler outs prop of over 19.5. So he has to go over 6 1/3 innings in order to cash that. So as long as he gets to over 6 1/3 innings, he got that at -120. So I'm on the Phillies to win, but to cover the run line. I'm on the over 2.5 in the first five, and then I'm on Wheeler outs total of over 19.5 outs. He comes in the year, Zach Wheeler, 120 innings, 2.69 ERA, 1.01 with 25 walks, 129 strikeouts. So strikeout any kind of guy. He's been going deeper into games, and the Marlins are really struggling. On the other side, Braxton Garrett, 58 innings, 3.88 ERA, 1.16 whip, 14 walks, 66 strikeouts. Now, those are pretty impressive numbers, especially for a young guy like Garrett. But when you look at his games, the last four, he's at 2 against Cincy, 2 against Pitt. Against Cincy, 5 2/3, 2 earned runs. Part of that, at Cincy, 5 innings, 5 earned runs. Before that, against Pittsburgh, 6 innings, only 1 earned run. And against Pittsburgh, before that, 6 innings, no earned runs. Before that, against the Mets, 5 2/3, 3 earned runs. So he's looked good. I think he's had some pretty easy competition. He's been racking up some strikeouts, and the Phillies are hitting well. So I'm on the Phillies to win this one. When you get to Wheeler, he's been going 7, let's see, he's gone exactly 7 innings in 5 of his last 6 starts. The one he didn't was against the Jays when they got to him a little, not giving up a lot of runs, doing his typical Zach Wheeler thing, going kind of mid-90s to low 100s in pitches, so they're letting him go deeper in games, which is why I'm on his outcrop of 19.5. And I'm also on Phillies. To get to Braxton Garrett for a few runs, I think they can hit him and get on the board early in the first half of the game at least and cover that 2.5. Next game of the night sees the Blue Jays in Baltimore. And on the hill for the Jays is Alec Manoah. They're ready. And you can get them at -155 on the road. You can get the home Orioles with Kyle Bradish. They're ready at +135. Total here, 8.5. Juice to be over at -115. And the Jays on the run line, you can get an even +100. Manoah comes in. 132 innings, 2.45 ERA, 0.99 whip, 30 walks, 119 strikeouts. So great numbers for him. Bradish in there at 56 1/3 innings, 6.55 ERA, 1.65 whip, 21 walks, 58 strikeouts. Not so much great numbers for him. Not really sure. I was looking at the Jays first five over 2.5. I might be on that. I think they can get the Bradish. He's giving up 1.65 whip. That's more than 1.5 runners per inning. That's just not sustainable, especially against a team like Toronto that you get guys on base against Toronto. You could be in trouble because they've got power throughout that lineup. I'm also considering the Jays on the run line and even +100. I think they can get to Bradish, and I think Manoah can probably get 5 or 6 at least and be able to get over that two run difference. They need to cover their run line. So looking at the Jays in the run line and looking at the Jays first five total that I saw earlier, over 2.5 at about -105. Next game we get to, oh my gosh, excuse me. And stop coughing here. Next game we head to Boston and the Red Sox are hosting the Braves. So you can get Charlie Morton and the Braves at -155 on the money line and veteran lefty Rich Hill for Boston, +135. Total here, 9.5. 110 on either side of that. And you can get the Braves on the run line at an even +100. Charlie Morton's been up and down, more down lately than up, but 116 2/3 innings, 4.09 ERA, 1.21 whip, 43 walks, 134 strikeouts. Rich Hill coming in just 73 2/3 innings, 4.52 ERA, 1.32 whip, 22 walks, 59 strikeouts. And with Morton, if I heard him about a month or so ago, I would have been on him easily in this game, and I would have been on the Braves. I still would lean the Braves. He had a good outing last time against Philly, 6 2/3, didn't give up any earned runs, but prior to that against Philly, 5 innings, give up 4 earned runs. Against the Angels for that 6 innings, no earned runs, but against the Mets, 5 innings, 5 earned runs. Washington, 7 innings, 2 earned runs. So he's been getting, he hasn't blown out by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been getting hit a little bit more. And the Red Sox, while their bats have been cold, this whole team has been cold. They still have the skill to get to pretty much anybody. So at minus 155, a little pricey for me on the money line. With Rich Hill on mound in Boston, I think the Braves can get to him. Might look to the run line at even plus 100. For right now, this game is pretty much stay away from it. The next game is in New York, when we've got the Mets hosting the Cincinnati Reds. On the hill for the Reds, lefty Mike Minor. And you can get them at plus 245. At home, for the Mets, you have Reggie Carlos Carrasco. You can get them at minus 305. Totally 8.5 juice to the over at minus 115. And you can get the Mets on the run line at minus 145. Now, I can't touch the money line at minus 305 or the run line at minus 405, at minus 145. What I was looking at is the Mets alt run line. You can get that at minus 2.5. You can get it at even money plus 100, or at minus 2, you can get it at minus 130. So I think I would lean to probably the minus 2. So if they do in by two, it's a push, but if they if you take the minus 2.5, you've got to win by 3. That's a big number. So I think if I can get that alt line at minus 2, I would look at that. But even at minus 130 on a 2 minus 2 alt line is a pretty big number as well, for me at least. So probably gonna stay away. I think the Mets win this easy. I was looking at some first half numbers, but I think the first five is kind of tough. I can see them getting that number, but it's a little tough to put that up there, put that much up, to me at least. Next game of the night has the Guardians, and they are in Detroit to face the Tigers. And you can get Randy Shane Bieber on the hill for the Guardians at minus 185. The home Tigers sent Tyler Alexander, they're lefty, and that's you get the money line at plus 165, totally or 7.5. And not that I think it's a pitcher's duel expected. It's juice to the under minus 120, but I think this is a matter of Bieber should be able to shut down the Tigers. And Cleveland has a good offense. They put up a few runs. We're not going to get a high-scoring game, and I think I would agree with that. You can also get the Guardians on the run line at minus 110. Bieber coming in 124 and 2/3 innings, 3.39 ERA, 1.11 whip, 28 walks, 126 strikeouts. So not a classic Shane Bieber dominant year, but a pretty darn good one. Tyler Alexander, on the other hand, 41 and 2/3 innings, 4.04 ERA, 1.23 whip, 10 walks, 24 strikeouts. I like Cleveland, but not at minus 185. That's just a little pricey for me. And even the run line, I'm not exactly sure they're going to get that many runs. So I was looking at their first five. But decided to pass on that as well. So we're going to skip again. Second game of the doubleheader between Chicago and Kansas City has Davis Martin on the hill for the White Sox. You can get them at minus 135. And then Casey throws out righty John Heasley, and you can get them at plus 115. Total here is 9.5, which is a little surprising. Juice to the under, minus 115. I guess two bad pitchers on the mound, but not exactly earth-shattering offenses either. So a little surprised at 9.5, especially second game of a doubleheader. And you can get the White Sox on the run line at plus 120. Martin comes in 30 1/3 innings, 4.75 ERA, 1.29 whip, 9 walks, 23 strikeouts. On the flip side, Heasley, he was struggled this year, 5.82 ERA, 55 2/3 innings, 1.56 whip, 28 walks, 41 strikeouts. If anything, I would lean, and I'm probably going to lean towards the White Sox. Might look at the run line again. It's at plus 120. I just don't trust Heasley. You know, 1.56 whip. Anybody, if you've heard my show before, anybody's given up more than a runner and a half in inning against any major league team. And the way the White Sox are hitting lately, they're doing well. So that's a recipe for disaster. So I would lean towards the Sox in game two, but on the run line. So I don't really want to lay 135 with Davis Martin on the hill. Next game is in Chicago for the Cubs, continue their series against the Nationals. Washington throws out their Randy Pablo Espino. You get them plus 170 on the money line. Cubs can under with their righty Marcus Stroman. You can get them a minus 200 at home. Total here 7.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. And you can get the Cubbies on the run line at plus 105. And if anything, I would look to that run line at plus 105. I can't lay 200 bucks with the Cubs. Sorry, I can't lay 200 with the Cubbies. I think you're going to see a lot of these games in the Nationals. I mean, the Cubs aren't that good a team, and how are they laying minus 200? Stroman's definitely a better pitcher. But I think the Nats and their quad A, their 4A lineup, their quad A lineup, whatever you want to call it, is going to see a lot of these numbers. So I can't lay 200 the Cubs. Maybe I can get to that run line at plus 105. And 7.5 under, I think I heard the wind's blowing me. Confirm that before you put anything down on this game. Espino's been a decent pitcher, comes in 72/3 innings, 4.2 ERA, 1.27 whip, 13 walks, 53 strikeouts. Stroman, 74 innings, exactly 4.00 ERA, 1.14 whip, 18 walks, 16 strikeouts. I think both these pitchers can keep the other teams in check. And I just lean a little more towards the Cubs lineup, Stroman being a slightly better pitcher, so maybe the run line at plus 105. Next game is in Milwaukee where the Rays are in town, and the Rays start opener, Jimmy Yakabonis. You can get them at plus 145, and the Brewers go with Freddy Peralta, minus 165. Yakabonis probably go an inning, maybe two, and then the feeling is that we hand it off to Ryan Yarbrough. Total here is 8, juice to the under, minus 115. And you can get the home Brewers on the run line at plus 125. Now, interesting matchup. Interesting to see what Peralta brings to the table. He, in his first game back from the injury list, so his last game before being injured was May 22nd. His last, the next game he pitched was exactly 6 days ago against Pittsburgh. 3.2 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts on 67 pitches. So I would see him probably going 4-plus innings. Maybe they push him to 5 if he's doing well. Laying 165, though, is just way too much for me for a pitcher in his second game back. His first game, you know, against Pittsburgh didn't go all that well. Four hits, 2 walks, and 3 2/3 innings against Pitt is not a great showing. But probably just working out some kinks. And I just can't trust the Brewers' bats on the run line at plus 125. So stay away from me. I would, you know what, I wouldn't lean either way. This is a true stay away. I don't know which way this game is going to go. So I'm just going to pass. Next game is in Houston, where the Astros are facing their in-state rivals, the Texas Rangers. And we have, just pulling all my screens up here. For Texas, they throw lefty Martin Perez, and you get them plus 160. Houston throws their righty Jose Urquidy at minus 180. Total is 8, juice the under at minus 120. And you can get the Astros on the run line at plus 115. Perez comes in 131 innings pitched, 2.47 ERA, 1.16 whip, 38 walks, 116 strikeouts. Urquidy, 114/3 innings, 3.62 ERA, 1.15 whip, 24 walks, and 90 strikeouts. Now, Perez has actually done, he's having a good year. He's given up exactly one earned run in his last four outings against Baltimore, the Angels, Oakland, and Seattle. And he's pitched against Houston twice this year and has very good numbers. So 16 innings, 10 hits, just one earned run, a walk, and 9 strikeouts. So he went a complete 9 innings against them in one game, shut them out, and 7 innings and only gave up one earned run. So the 9-inning game is May 20th, 7 innings and only one earned run was April 28th. So that was a while ago. And Houston's certainly heated up since. On the flip side, we have Urquidy's went pitched twice against Texas this year, 12 2/3 innings, 11 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and 14 strikeouts. So 6 inning, no decision on June 14th, and 6 2/3, 1 run game where he got the win on May 22nd. So it should be an interesting game. I just like the Astros. I know Perez has pitched well against them. But I can't lay 180 with the guys pitched that well against them. I'm not really going to lay 180. On the run line at 115, if I was that keen in the game, I would be probably on the run line, but I'm not. Maybe look towards the under 8. Both teams, Texas has the ability to go cold with their bats. I mean, they have the ability to put up some runs, but when they get shut down, they get shut down. So I would look maybe under the 8, but at 120, I'm not so sure about that. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, wrap up the West Coast games and call it a night. All right. Next game, St. Louis is in Mile High City to play the Rockies. Should be some fireworks going off, I think, in this series. You get Miles Mikolas on the hill, the righty for St. Louis, and you can get them at minus 170 in the money line. You get the home Rockies behind the righty Ryan Feltner at plus 150. Total here is 11, juice to the over at minus 120. You can get the Cards at on the run line at minus 115. Mikolas, 138 and two-thirds innings, 2.92 ERA, 1.01 whip, 27 walks, 106 strikeouts. Feltner, 40 and two-thirds innings, 5.75 ERA, 11 walks, 38 strikeouts, 1.45 whip. Now, I looked at this game hard. I looked at it a lot of different ways. I'm just not sure how to get to any of these numbers. Mikolas, better pitcher than Feltner, obviously. A lot of people say he's been pitching over his head. Maybe he has, but he's continued to do well. You know, 1.01 whip, 2.92 ERA. He's been pitching well. Bit of a pitch to contact guy, but he's been continuing to do it. So they win the pitching battle. Their hitting has been on fire. So they win that battle too. The thing is, when you go into Coors, you never know what's going to happen. Mikolas pitches, his changeup goes flat a little bit. All of a sudden, Colorado hits him around the park. They can put up a lot of runs and they can win. So I'm not really going to take the run line for the Cards, and I'm not going to lay 170. It's stay away. If anything, and I would lean towards the – I do lean towards the Cards, and I probably lean to the over 11. I think the Cards get the – you know, I was actually looking at their first five run total, and it's over 3.5. That's a lot of runs. It was at plus 110, but if anything, I would take the Cards on the first five over 3.5. I'm going to look at that and debate if it comes that number were to come down. I don't think it would be, but maybe the 2.5 or 3, then I'd be all over it. Next game is in California, where we have the A's traveling up the coast. Sorry, the Angels traveling up the coast to play the Oakland A's. The Angels throw out their ace, and who I think should probably win the MVP again this year, Shohei Ohtani. You can get them at minus 180 on the money line against James Caprillion for Oakland, who you can get at plus 160. Total here is 6.5. And you can get the Angels at an even plus 100 on the run line. But actually, the 6.5 is juiced down to minus 120. I would actually look at that number. I think Caprillion can give up a few runs, and Ohtani has actually been a little more, actually looks human recently. His numbers, though, 105 innings, 2.83 ERA, 1.04 whip, 152 strikeouts and just 24 walks. Caprillion, 85 and a third innings, 4.32 ERA, 1.29 whip, 36 walks and 57 strikeouts. I was looking at a strikeout prop. I was seeing around 8.5 for Ohtani. Could he get there? Sure. Oakland doesn't strike out a lot. Oddly enough, for as bad as their offense is, they don't strike out a lot. And last time these guys played, which was exactly 6 days ago, Ohtani went 5 2/3. Sorry, last time Ohtani pitched against Oakland, exactly 6 days ago, 5 2/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So he wouldn't hit that prop there. 99 pitches before that, he reeled off strikeouts of 11, 11, 12, 10, 11, 13. He's just been fantastic this year. But his one game against Oakland, they got to him a little, 7 hits, and they got a couple runs on the board. The flip side of that, Caprillion has pitched well. He's given up one or no earned runs in 5 of his last 6 outings. 4 of those games he gave up 1 earned run. 1 of those games he gave up 0. And the one game against Texas, he gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings. So he's been pitching well. And his one outing against these Angels was also 6 days ago against Ohtani. 5 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. So at plus 160, I think there's value on Oakland. I just can't go against Shohei Ohtani. You know, this game I could see being close. You know, a 0-0, 1-0 game going into the 6th, 7th kind of thing, much like it was last night. And then they get to the bullpens. And I would actually probably lean more towards Oakland's bullpen, but who knows what happens after that. So plus 160, there might be some value. I don't see trying to pull up the first five numbers. First half numbers. Total 3.5. You can get it under around minus 125, 130. Might be some value there. You know, if Ohtani's on, he's shutting Oakland down. No doubt about it. And if Caprillion's having even a decent game, I don't think LA's getting to him for anything. So might look to the first half under or the first five under there. Next game of the night is not an overly thrilling game, as I said yesterday, but we'll cover it anyways. We are in Arizona. Let's pull up a game here. And you get the Pirates in town. Pirates throw righty Zach Thompson, and you can get them at plus 140 on the money line. And Tommy Henry, the young rookie, makes his second start for the D-backs. You can get them at minus 160. Total here is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 115. And you can get the D-backs on the run line at plus 125. Thompson comes in 85 and two-thirds inning, 5.15 ERA, 1.46 whip. 33 walks, 60 strikeouts. Not impressive numbers. Henry really too early to tell. He pitched one game, 5 innings, 7.2 ERA, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, 1.40 whip. Out of Michigan University. He's having a decent year, kind of a strikeout and inning kind of guy in AA and AAA earlier this year, but not enough for me to know much about. And at minus 160, I know he's a lefty. The Pirates don't hit lefties well. I was looking at his strikeout prop. It's, I think it was 4.5. So he would have to base, you know, if you strike out an inning in the minors, that doesn't usually translate the same in the majors. But even if he does, he's got to get the 5 innings. And he got that last game. But I'm not 100% sure he's going to get there, so don't really want to back that. Other than that, don't really know how to break down the game as far as what I'm looking at. Young pitcher going against Thompson. Maybe there's value Pittsburgh at plus 140. Somebody, you know, I have no idea. 8.5 juice to the over at minus 115. Neither team's offense is very good. If anything, I'd look to the under there at minus 105. So the third last game, which one will be one of the, I think, two remaining pitchers' duels. It should be a good game. And we've got the Giants in San Diego to face the Padres. I'm just trying to pull up the game log here, the pitching logs here. For the Giants, you've got Alex Cobb, their righty, and you can get them at plus 160. And Joe Musgrove is at home for the Padres. They're ready at minus 180. Total here is 7.5. Just the under at minus 120. You can get the Padres at plus 120 on the run line. Cobb comes in 88 and third innings, 4.08 ERA, 1.27 whip, 26 walks, 93 strikeouts. But he seems to have turned it around a little. He's been pitching well in the last month. The Padres pitcher, Joe Musgrove, 120 innings, exactly 3.00 ERA, 1.03 whip, 28 walks, 120 strikeouts. Now, the Padres, since their big splash and their big trade, their bats have gone completely cold, which is interesting. I think myself included, everybody thought they were going to start to thump everybody, but I'm sure it'll come around, but it hasn't come around yet. So when you look at Musgrove in his last few outings, against Colorado at home, 4 2/3, 8 hits, 6 earned runs. At home against Minnesota, 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. At New York Mets, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. At Colorado, 5 innings, 9 hits, 5 earned runs. It's Colorado, fair enough. Home against the Giants, 7 innings, shut them out. At the Dodgers, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs. And at Philly, 6 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs. So he's given up 4 or more earned runs. Let's call it 3 or more earned runs in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his last 7 starts. So he still has 3 ERA. So he was mowing everybody down to start the year. He's come back down to earth. Like I said yesterday, I don't trust the Giants' bats. I can't really back the Giants. Cobb has pitched decent recently. Not fantastic. And if and when the Padres' bats do wake up, they should be able to get to a pitcher like Cobb. So at minus 180, can't really back the Padres in the run. Maybe, you know, the run line at plus 120. But when you see a number of total 7.5, indicating pitchers do a low scoring battle, it makes it even tougher for anybody to win by 1.5. So stay away from me once again. The second last game of the night has Minnesota Twins in LA to face the Dodgers. For the Twins, you get righty Joe Ryan on the hill at plus 180. For the Dodgers, you get lefty Julio Urias at minus 220. Total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 115, and the Dodgers on the run line at minus 115. I would actually look, and I'm looking hard at that minus 115 for the Dodgers. Seems that, what did I hear, they've won like 30 of the last 35 games. I think they are playing well and came off a big series win against San Diego, and they're beating teams soundly. Joe Ryan comes in 90 and two-thirds innings, 3.67 ERA, 1.08 whip, 22 walks, 89 strikeouts. Urias, 115 and two-thirds innings, 2.57 ERA, 0.99 whip, 24 walks, 109 strikeouts. Again, I'm on the Dodgers. I'm not on them at minus 220. So that minus 115 run line is probably something I'll be definitely looking at. Last game of the night, which is probably the pitcher's duel. I think it's pitcher's duel of the night. Yankees in Seattle to face the Mariners. Gerrit Cole starts for the Gerrit Cole starts for the Yanks, and you can get them as favorites on the road at minus 130. And newly acquired Luis Castillo starts for the M's. I think this is his first home start. He comes in at plus 110. Total here is 7, so obviously pitch is still expected. Juice to the under minus 120. You get the Yankees on the run line at plus 135. Just to give you their quick numbers, Cole 131 in the third innings, 3.56 ERA, 1.04 whip, 33 walks, 170 strikeouts. Very much a classic Gerrit Cole year. Castillo, this is strange. Just shows 6-6. You know what? This is one start with the Mariners, so we'll skip that. Castillo comes in 91 and two-thirds innings, 2.95 ERA, 31 walks, 98 strikeouts. These guys met, both started 6 days ago, and Cole went 6 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, a walk, and 8 strikeouts, 3 home runs. Probably not going to do that again. On the flip side, Castillo came in 6 2/3, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, 1 home run. He was mowing them down for the first few innings and then got hit in the 6th before they pulled him. So I don't see that necessarily repeating. I can't believe Cole's going to give up 3 home runs again. And I can't see the M's getting him to getting to him that easily. Yankees bats have been cold lately, though, although they finally woke up yesterday. So I think I back the Yankees here. Minus 130, not a bad price. The under 7, I might actually look to the over at plus 100 from what I'm seeing. Cole's been giving up a few runs. You know, in his last 5 of his last 6 outings, he's given up more than 3 earned runs. So 6 earned runs in to Seattle against KC, 6 innings, 5 earned runs. At Baltimore, 6 innings, 4 runs, 3 earned runs. 7 innings against Boston, 2 earned runs. 7 innings against Cincinnati, no earned runs. Both those teams are struggling. But then early July against Red Sox, 6 innings, 5 earned runs. So he's been giving up a few runs. I don't think he's getting crushed. I don't think he's collapsing. He's giving up a few runs. And, you know, Castillo pitched well against him, still got 3 earned runs in 6 2/3 innings. And the Yankees are the Yankees. So if they wake up, they're getting anybody. So I might look for the over there, the over 7 at plus 100. So 16 games, lots of games, a few props, a few sides, a few totals. Hopefully, there's got to be something in there that you're going to want to look at tonight, if not a number of things. I was on some pitching K props early. Really like that Philly-Miami game. Really like Wheeler's out totals. Philly first 5 and Philly on the run line. I don't usually make 3 bets like that in one game, but looking at that pretty hard. So hopefully there's something out there for you. But before we go, I just want to remind you of our partners at Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com and use the coupon code HOOPBALL20, so HOOPBALL20, when you check out, you get 20% off your order and free shipping. Again, if you haven't checked this out, go to sportsethos.com. Lots of interesting stuff there. Lots of reasonably priced packages. And follow me on Twitter, Doug_Reed34. DM me any questions, comments. I will respond as fast as I can, which is always within the same day. Give me a shout. Love to hear any thoughts, comments. Please go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show. Enjoy the night. Got to be something out there you can jump on. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.